You are listening to the audio portion of the QB Power Hour webinar series. The QB Power Hour is a free bi-weekly webinar series for accounting professionals presented by Michelle Long and Dan DeLong, who are very passionate about the industry, QuickBooks, and apps that integrate with QuickBooks. You can find out all the details about the webinar series at qbpowerhour.com. So without further ado, here's Michelle and Dan.
Welcome, everybody, to another QB Power Hour. We've got a great one for you today, marketing accounting firms with stories. So we've got some good one coming up today with some great guests for you. So my name is Michelle Long, and I am a CPA, owner of Long for Success, trainer for Intuit, author of 5 books. You can check them out. There's the links for, of course, QB Power Hour, our Facebook group, which is an awesome interactive group with a lot of support out there from your peers, and the LinkedIn group if you're interested. Dan, go ahead.
All right. My name is Dan DeLong, owner at DanWit. Worked at Intuit for nearly 18 years. Co-hosting today also over at coolbookkeeping.com, running the workshop Wednesdays, oddly enough, on Wednesdays. Doing some tech editing for the QBO for Dummy series, as well as Pro Advisor, which is, we'll talk a little bit about that, but let's introduce our guest, Dave. Come on, come out of hiding.
Hey, Dan, good to see you again.
Good to be seen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
All right, tell the folks a little bit about who Dave Young is, if you haven't seen him before on the Power Hour.
I mean, I've been on the, if you're not watching the backlog, the back catalog, I don't know how long ago that was. It was 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was during COVID.
Yeah, I'm an advertising and marketing consultant, and I've been doing that for about 20 years or so, along with my partner, Roy Williams, whose headquarters is here in Austin, Texas. And 2.5 years ago, I came in as vice chancellor of Wizard Academy. It's quasi-related, same founder, Roy Williams founded it, and I've also founded the Wizard of Ads group. We've got about 70 consultants. And so I have two roles here. One is as a consultant, and the other is as an administrator and teacher at Wizard Academy, which is a nonprofit, non-traditional school for advertising and marketing here in kind of the edge of the Hill Country, southwest of Austin. We've got a campus that has housing for 19 rooms for housing. Our class only holds 32 people. And we teach advertising and marketing classes. And then 8 years ago, we started a whiskey marketing school that I'm in the whiskey vault, which is the quiet place to go today. We actually have
that's not a background.
That's not a background.
What's behind you?
No. And that's just a small piece of it. I'm in this little room that's got about 3,000 bottles of whiskey in it. It was just a quiet place to come on campus. We've got just across the way a class going on. And so I was going to sneak away to be on your webinar, Dan.
Yeah. Which is not, so it's not that you're there, you can sue said.
No, I have I have a glass of water here. I will not be, but I also have a breathalyzer just in case.
And no, it's
so
go ahead.
You want me to introduce Brandon, or you want to introduce Brandon?
Yeah,
so Brandon.
Let Brandon introduce Brandon. Because I wanted to have, if you haven't seen any of the prior webinars that we've had Dave on before, I wanted to have, I noticed from stalking, I guess that's probably the easiest way, of the happening, both Brandon and Dave Young are friends on Facebook. And I noticed they were together, and it was really interesting about that. So I wanted to have Brandon come on today to talk about his experience with the Wizard Academy as well, to see that on the, like the other side of things. But Brandon, tell us a little bit about you and your practice and firm.
Yeah, thanks. My name's Brandon, and I'm an advertising and marketing consumer with Dave and a couple of his guys. And also one of my favorite places on the earth is the Wizard Academy, co-founder and CEO of Barron's Incorporated. Super cool to hang out with Dan and Michelle because they're legends in our space as far as QuickBooks. But yeah, what I've learned about Wizard of Ads and Dave is I suck at marketing and they don't. And that's a good place for me to be.
There we go. All right. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about some housekeeping, and then we'll dive right into our agenda for today. So a little bit about the QB Power Hour webinars. They're every other Tuesday at noon Eastern. I'm eligible for CPE credit. You can always check the website for upcoming events, but we're focused on QuickBooks and QuickBooks tips, but also accounting practices in general, right? Because as technology is turning the commoditization of bookkeeping into automation. So we want to make sure that we're holistically approaching the accounting practice themselves. So today we're going to be talking about marketing, right? So we've got the PDF of the slides, the recording, there's a podcast and other resources at qbpowerhour.com/resources, all in one place there for you. A little bit of the housekeeping here. If you have specific questions about anything that Brandon, Michelle, myself, or Dave are talking about today, please put them in the Q&A, because if we can't answer it live or by typing in the answer, putting it in the Q&A allows us to be able to follow up with that after the webinar is over. If you just have general comments or chat-based things, just you can feel free to put them in the chat as well. And then we also have the slides and the handout, which I should have left in the chat so that people can access that as well. So new for 2024 is we are trying out this simulcasting, where we are not just doing this in the Zoom webinar series as well, but also on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, which is no need to register to be able to see that simulcast. However, because we are putting this in the QB Power Hour Power User group, that's a private group. And if you were to comment in the Facebook group, it ends up showing up as Facebook user. So there's a QR code there to grant the streaming platform access to your profile so that we can see your name when you actually say something. Otherwise, well, it's far too many places to see who said what where. So if you want to be part of the conversation, please just grant access to the streaming platform. We launched the store and we got our first order, which is awesome. We are putting power related things in the store for little swag things like phone chargers and coffee mugs, because that's how you recharge. Dave would say whiskey might be a way to recharge as well. Maybe we should make some QB Power Hour shot glasses or snifters, but there's a way to access the store there as well. And Michelle and I and Brandon, are you on the top one voting list this year?
I am not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you should be.
We've got several people that are within in our accounting success group that are. And so, yeah, we're still happy to have those acquaintances, people that sell and consult with QuickBooks through our program that are in that channel.
But voting is open, I think, until the end of the month for the top 100. So please, if you feel free to, you can vote up to three different people. Definitely give it an opportunity there. So our agenda today is we're going to talk a little bit about, with Dave and Brendan, about bookkeeping being a grudge purchase, which kind of changes things as far as the type of industry and the way, maybe the best way to market and advertise that type of business. And then we'll recap some of the things that we had talked about with Dave before about creating a character and how to tell a story and really just having a discussion about the process of doing so and getting Brandon's take on his experience with working with the wizards there at the academy. So let's first start off with a poll, because as Dave was mentioning, we love our polls here at the QB Power Hour, but now I need to find out where it is. Okay, there we go. And we'll launch the first one about how do you currently market your practice? And Dave, if you want to talk a little bit about how we met and those types of things, sure. We'll start with that story.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, it was what year? It was 2017, 18, when you were in a BNI group that I joined. And so, yeah, word of mouth and referrals, networking groups, those kinds of things. I joined the BNI group. One of our partners in Australia was a member of a BNI group, and he recommended it. And in fact, he was my reference. The president of our group had to call Australia to find out anything about. And yes. Craig Arthur he's one of the guys that's working with Brandon as well. Brandon knows him. But it's a great way of just getting the word out in a small group of here's who I am and here's what I do. I'm not sure where else you wanted me to go with that, Dan, but
it was great to make that connection with you in the BNI group. And then we ended up becoming friends because of that meeting. Yeah. And we would hike the local hill, Tumamoc Hill in mm-hmm. Tucson. One of my favorite stories about Dave is how he saved my house when we were debating this whole, or trying to do this selling of our home and moving into an RV nomadic lifestyle. Dave came through at a pinch when we really needed him with his moving of heavy furniture.
Yeah. Don't expect a marketing story. I didn't sell Dan's house. I'm just the kind of guy, the kind of friend that will show up if you say, hey, we're loading a truck tomorrow. Can you be there?
That is a true threat, because that's when most people are like, oh, sorry, my back hurts, so I got to do this.
Yeah,
I
gotta do that. I'm going to Starbucks tomorrow.
Yeah.
Here are three. Today at 10:45 a.m.
Uh-oh.
The weather. Months
I didn't do it.
I did.
Was that Alexa or Siri?
That was Google.
That was Google. Okay. Fantastic. So we do have some prior webinars with Dave while telling your story and some personas and copywriting. So if you want to get a little bit more deeper dive into some of the things that Dave has talked about with us in the past, you're welcome to do that. Now, do you want me to stop sharing so you can pick it up from here, Dave? Or do you want me to just continue?
So if I advance, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's just count on you doing this.
Okay. Sounds
good. I'll watch it. I'll just be surprised. Whatever slide comes up next, we'll treat it as just a big happy accident.
Okay. The Bob Ross.
When we last talked, we were talking about, and more specifically, like thinking of your company as a character in one regard and thinking of your customers as personas or characters in another. And it's really interesting how story has continued. Story and content have continued to really play a very important role in marketing, even as we see the rise of AI and people have figured out that the advanced targeting that they thought worked so well doesn't work so well anymore. But there are some cool ways around it. You mentioned earlier that bookkeeping is a grudge purchase, and by that, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, oh, I need some good bookkeeping today. I'm going to go out and find myself a bookkeeper and get all my receipts organized, and I'm going to love it. No, we go, oh gosh, this has grown to the point where I think I better find one. So it's a purchase that's similar to having to need a plumber. I need a plumber at my house right now because something's leaking in my front yard near all the valves and shutoffs. There's like a little swampy area of about 2 square feet. I don't know what to do about that. I didn't wake up this morning and want to call a plumber. I woke up this morning and now I need a plumber. So who do I call? If I don't know a plumber, I go to Google, right? Or I call somebody that might know a plumber in my neighborhood, or I go to a Facebook place. And that's where you, by making yourself known in an area, you create some opportunities for referrals and that kind of thing. But the only thing I really mean by a grudge purchase is that it's just triggered externally. So the triggers are usually things like I mentioned, right? I got to get caught up. Yeah, go ahead. Lay these bullets on us, Dan.
All right. Boom, boom.
I think these are bullets from the last one. And
yeah,
these are all things. Like, these are probably the triggers that your customers experience when they start looking for somebody to either buy QuickBooks from or to do their bookkeeping or their accounting, right? They've got to get reports filed. They've got to.
These are the leaky faucet of bookkeeping.
Yeah, exactly. And so whatever you're doing in marketing, address these things. And I'm going to talk about targeting through copy a little later on, but keep these things in mind, because these are the kinds of questions now that you can put at the top of an ad in Facebook or in a video in YouTube and say, hey, are you trying to get organized for a bank loan? And that's targeting by inclusive copywriting. So the challenge has always been, how do I target people that are trying to get ready for a bank loan? Can you buy that group on Facebook? I don't think Facebook knows who's trying to get ready for a bank loan.
Or they do, and they're just not telling you.
They're not letting you make that a choice in your targeting. And they may know, because there may be other people that are running ads like this. But if you just buy a broadly based demographic and you put in your copy an opening question, are you trying to get ready for a bank loan? Do you need your finances organized for a bank loan? And you show that to a broad range of people, the people that are getting ready for a bank loan will read that message and self-select and target. And it's actually a way you can train an AI, believe it or not, is by writing and identifying information in your headlines of your ads. And you're now training the AI, oh, these are the kinds of people that I'm looking for. And so, yes, Facebook, Google, they may actually know that you're getting ready for a bank loan, but they're not going to let people target that way. But they will show you ads if they know, right? Because their goal is to get you to click on an ad. And so if they know that you're not caught up for your taxes, they may not specifically know that, but who knows what they know? They listen to us all the time. So I'm sure just the fact that we're talking about getting caught up for taxes, we're probably going to see some of that in our own Facebook and social media feeds.
You mentioned AI, and we've been talking about how AI is affecting the accounting industry.
Sure.
How is AI affecting the marketing industry, which I'm sure that is part of some of the challenges where maybe you have some obstacles when you're talking to them. I could just ask ChatGPT to write me some copy. Can you talk a little bit about how AI is changing?
I've got lots of colleagues and friends that have gotten neck deep in AI, and I haven't dabbled in it a whole lot yet. And I say that just in that I'm keeping an eye on it, and I haven't seen an ad that I feel is a better written ad than what a human copywriter can do. But because we're talking about artificial intelligence versus real intelligence. An AI can get you part of the way there. We talked about this earlier. I'm not going to talk about QuickBooks because I don't know anything about QuickBooks, but I'm guessing what you're saying is now I can just hand an AI all my receipts. And
very similar to what you just said. And Michelle discussed it. Like, AI is like an intern, right? You treat AI like an intern for rough drafts and those types of things. They can do a lot of the legwork that an intern might do. As far as the final draft, that it really needs some human eyes, and especially someone that has some experience with these sorts of things to make sure that it is exactly the same way. Can you tell us the story about what you were just talking about with where you had AI do an ad copy?
It was more of a fun way to write a radio ad, because this was about a year ago and AI was bubbling up as this big hot topic. And so I actually found an AI that was informed by stupid writings. Like I don't even think the AI is around any longer, but it was called Too Dumb to Destroy or something like that. So it was like informed by Monty Python and Dr. Seuss and National Lampoon kind of thing. So it wrote a thing that was clever, and it was about 15, 20 seconds. I incorporated it into a radio ad, but made fun of the fact that we asked an AI to write it. I wouldn't turn creative control of anybody's ad campaign over to AI just yet. There are probably
it's a little too literal. It's a little too literal to really... And Michelle, you were talking about AI generated images and some of the funny things that you had experienced with that. But before we get into another option where we're talking about AI and marketing, let's talk about some of these things that really accountants and bookkeepers can stop doing rather than trying to figure out what is it that we can do. Talk about some of these things here, Dave.
Yeah, we talked about this last time too. Unique selling propositions. When you read advertising books, maybe you took a marketing or an advertising class in college, and everybody talks about what's a unique selling proposition. This is what my company does that nobody else could possibly do. And honestly, that doesn't exist. right? There's nothing that you can do that other people can't do that you could brag about in your advertising, because especially in the accounting world, right? It's pretty cut and dried. You're either doing it right or you're not doing it.
Yeah.
And
we reconcile accounts 4.5 seconds faster than the other guy.
Yeah. Now you've got time to take one more sip of coffee. But we had a student, we actually had a, this came from a student last week at our Magical Worlds class. And we were talking about unique selling propositions. And people, let's say it's a food ad, and they say, we only use the best ingredients. And the question is, why wouldn't you do that? So you have a unique selling proposition, and it can just be torn down by somebody saying, of course you do that. Why wouldn't you?
There are the other example is there's the guy in Tucson that would be like, I can't remember what he said, but your satisfaction is our priority. Like that was, would that not be
I would hope so.
Any business?
Yeah, I would hope so, right? Sure. I'm all for that. And I guess what I'm saying is where we're leading with this is what you have in your business that's unique is
you. Yeah.
Right. And that's actually what we've been working on with Brandon the most is how do we incorporate the uniqueness that is Brandon, right? And we love Brandon. And he's so unique. There's a lot of things you probably don't know about Brandon and things that he's done in the past and things that he does now. And those are things that are pretty unique, right? So you make somebody interesting through the stories that you tell. And then when they need what you sell, they remember, oh yeah, that guy from Alabama that scuba dives. Right. Used to be the EMT, that guy.
Bearded guy.
Yeah, that dude with the beard. I saw him somewhere. It's not so much growing a list and marketing to it or being unique. It's being memorable. And we're not doing, at this point, we're not doing mass media for Brandon. But if Brandon and you're in business in Mobile, L.A., as he likes to call it, Lower Alabama, you think of, oh, that's that guy. Yeah. I know him. He's a cool guy. He does QuickBooks too. He can put together inventory management for me. Oh, I never would have guessed that. So you connect something that's actually true about your business with something that's surprising, and it makes you memorable. For the most part, the work we do with our clients is to make them famous in their town. We work with a lot of local businesses. Now, Brandon's trying to reach a broader audience with some of the services that he does, franchise operations, for example. And that's all the franchisors, the guys that own the company that franchises businesses, they're not all in Mobile. So we have to reach out a little bit further, but you target by what you say, not necessarily by the kind of targeting that we've been able to do with Facebook and LinkedIn and things in the past. You can still do a little bit more of it with LinkedIn when you're talking about business to business, but really, you want to be memorable. The heating and air conditioning company that I talked about, we're doing ads that, like, they have a really unfortunate name. Their name is BWS Plumbing, Heating, and Air. BWS. And they thought about changing it when we first started working with them because it's not an easy name to remember. But they decided they didn't want to do that. And that gives you creative handcuffs to work with. So the ads all tell the story of BWS, but we talk about how these three little letters are easy to remember because obviously B is for plumbing, W is for heating, and S is for air conditioning. And we have this sort of quirky, weird spokesman that is doing all these absurd things all the time. But at the end of the day, it comes down to remembering these three little letters. Now, kids, go grab a Sharpie and write these three letters on daddy's hot water heater, right? And so when the hot water heater breaks, there they are. And we're very transparent about that in the ads, right? It's tongue in cheek. And yeah, we think it's a good idea for kids to do that. Maybe mom and dad don't, but if they do, that's a win. But at the end of the day, it makes them famous in their market.
And Brandon, what is your... Tell us about your journey with working with the Wizard Academy and some of the courses that you've taken and your experiences there. what that's been like.
Sure. So we started out with a discovery call, much like most salespeople, right? I think the most interesting thing was we've been working with Dave and Craig and Johnny for a while. And we would go through and say, hey, what do you do? And like, I don't know. I do QuickBooks and we do inventory and we do all the things that QuickBooks does. We've done and we've been doing this thing for 20 years. But that's the roller coaster that's been this process is nobody really cares about what we do and all the things. Nobody wants to talk about accounting and nobody wants to talk about bookkeeping or QuickBooks or third-party apps until they have a need. So it's the journey that I've been on with Dave is realizing, yeah, we can talk about all the stuff. And when they have a need, they're interested. They've got two or three questions. That's it. They don't want to learn. They don't want to know anymore, even if it's relevant. They just want to know that I know what we're doing. But the only thing that they really care about is they know me, they like me, and they trust me. Yeah, I know how to do QuickBooks stuff. And we're probably going to talk about something else. Maybe this scuba diving or the Army stuff or EMS stuff or all the other things that we've done. It's just not being, don't talk to them about crap they don't care about. And most of it is accounting and bookkeeping and all that. So figuring out how to work your stories in and be likable and approachable and not boring and not mundane and not the stereotypical accountant you need. And if you can't get away from that, you need to have somebody else doing it for you that can be more interesting than you.
So even when Brandon's going to the, we were talking about what's the big event coming up that I'm not invited to?
Scaling new heights.
Hi, David. You are invited. We'd love
scaling,
to
scaling what?
Scaling new heights.
Scaling new heights. And this is QuickBooks training.
It's a conference. Yes.
But it's in Orlando?
It's in Orlando, Florida. Disney World.
Well, I'm down for that.
I'm Marriott. Yes. We can
I'll show up.
We'd love to have you come.
Dave, I may have a ticket for you. Let me check.
Sweet.
Accountants can party. You'd be surprised.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm in the whiskey vault. I'll come do. In fact, I'm
some samples.
There are some pretty wild parties.
Since we're on this, could you buy a little? This is the ridiculous medallion you get when you graduate from our whiskey sommelier school.
Oh, my. Wow.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It weighs about a pound. And so, I mean, if you want, I'll come to Orlando. We'll do a whiskey tasting. I'll bring my medallion because it unlocks better olfactory senses and taste
senses. And some magical powers.
It's basically magic, yeah. But when you talk about things like that, now some of you that are on this call will go, oh, that's the guy that was in that whiskey room on that call. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He had that big stupid medallion. Man, that's crazy. Oh, but he knows about marketing. Yeah, maybe we ought to call him. When Brandon shows up at a Chamber of Commerce meeting in Mobile and he looks like all the other three-piece suit dudes and businessmen and women at the Chamber of Commerce meeting, he doesn't stand out and you don't go, oh, I wonder what his story is. But if he shows up as his authentic self and has scuba diving conversations with people and talks about his experiences training his service dog and all this myriad of things that he's interested in and the fact that he just looks interesting, people tie those two things together, right? And when they finally do need what Brandon does or they come across somebody that does, it's like, so you meet a CEO on an airplane and he's frustrated about not having software in place that all his franchisees can use so that he gets uniform reports across the entire organization. And you met this guy at this chamber meeting and you go, oh man, I know a guy. You're not going to believe this about him, but he knows exactly how to solve that problem. And so he becomes you remember Pulp Fiction? In the scene where they have that guy killed in the back of the car and they call Winston Wolf.
Yes.
And he's fixed, right? And he's there in 10 minutes speeding down the streets and he tells them exactly how to solve this problem that they have. And so you can use a metaphor like that to, for your own marketing, for the stories that you tell. And that's where we're headed here in terms of using character.
Can I just add on to that? And that is the best thing too, is that word of mouth recommendation. But the one thing that so many people fail to do is when that CEO would call Brandon and say, hey, so-and-so recommended you or whatever, Brandon has to follow up on that lead.
And oh, sure.
So many people don't follow up because that is a warm, hot lead. And that is the best thing that you've got there. But so many people won't follow up on that and follow through when you get that hot lead. So that is critical because you get that, but you've got to follow through on that lead. You know?
That's fantastic because and we know this from a lot of the home service companies that we work with. A lot of them have the text us to contact, like you need your air conditioner fixed. You can go online and they have the little text box, text them and they'll get a response. And close rates fall off precipitously after 20 seconds. If you don't respond to them within 20 seconds, you're way less likely to land them as a customer, right?
No pressure.
So, yeah, no pressure. But Michelle, you're dead on. Absolutely right. If you have a lead and you don't just call them right back, the odds are dwindling further and further that they've called the next person that they could think of because I couldn't get a hold of you. So I called the guy across the street.
The referrals from the Find a Pro Advisor website, which is something that Intuit does for us to send referrals to pro advisors. There's so many people that report that when they try to contact someone from Find a Pro Advisor website, that they don't get a response.
Yeah.
People are getting an email and then they don't get any response. Follow up when you do get a contact.
Figure out how to put the emails from that site on some kind of alarm bell that goes off in your house. Or in your office.
Even if it's not right for you, let's say somebody contacts me and say, hey, so-and-so recommended you. Can you help me with the taxes? And I don't do taxes. I still follow up and say, no, that's not the type of work I do, but I'm going to refer you on to so-and-so. Still follow up with them because you don't want the person that made that referral to stop giving you referral. And then follow up with the person that made the referral. Thank you for the referral. It wasn't right for me because I don't do tax work. Because then you're also telling them what's the right client for you. You've got to keep that working for you.
That's exactly right. And if you need to call, like you said, it's not enough to just say, hey, maybe you should talk to Dan because I think he does taxes. It's better to get them on the phone and say, look, I don't do taxes, but what kind of taxes are we talking about? Are we talking about personal income tax? Are we talking about for profit? Are we talking about a real estate partnership? Are we talking about, these are all really specialized types of taxes, right? You want to make sure you send them the right person. And then that's what really cements your relationship to the person that you're actually sending a lead to, because it's a good lead. It's really strong because it fits them perfectly. So you've gotten to know that. So this sort of lands this whole thing about quick response to leads. This first bullet, focus improvements on things that matter to your customers. And we just told you what matters to your customers, and that is prompt response. So your business improvements, if don't go out and spend money on marketing, if you don't have a system in place to respond to the leads that you're going to get from good marketing, you better have a way to make sure that you call people or respond to them in 20 seconds. And that's where you should focus improvements in your business. Story-based ads, we've talked a little bit about that. And study how to brand unsexy, externally triggered businesses. Honestly, I'll come to, what's it called? Arise, what is it? Scaling new heights. The best thing that would happen if I came to it, I would get ideas that I could use with my plumbing and heating and air conditioning companies. So one of the things I always tell people is study other businesses, study other business models that have similar characteristics to yours. We're a grudge purchase. Nobody calls us until they really need us. And we fix problems that are popping up, just like an air conditioner that's broken in the summer. Study, like, honestly, find one of your favorite clients and you want more people like that, find out what convention that person's going to and go with them to that convention. And you'll probably find ways to market your QuickBooks or your accounting business by attending somebody else's industry's event that has similar problem topology to yours. We call it...
What is the heating and air conditioning conference for accountants to go to?
Gosh, I don't... There's a bunch of them. I'd probably focus on one of the ones that are run by... There's organizations that do like mastermind groups with them. Honestly, they wouldn't be hard to find.
Yeah.
Call your AC guy and tell them.
What is this all about?
Oh, this was... This slide was, I appreciate you finding the old slides, Dan, because I didn't have to make new ones.
There you go.
This is a little peek at what we do when we do a thing called Uncovery. And Brandon went through some of this, but we typically like to, because Brandon became a client in the tail end of the pandemic, we did a lot of this here in Austin. But these are just some of the things that we go through to help us understand who a client is so that we know what we can do in the advertising and what we're not. Again, remember, we're not looking for a unique selling proposition, but we are looking for what makes this client unique, not what makes his QuickBooks business or his, it's what makes him unique. So things like a North Star, oh man, here on the Wizard Academy campus, we get really, gosh, I'll scare some people away. We get a little woo over things like North Stars. And if you know what the North Star is and how it works, it's a star that sits right above the pole of the Earth. The Earth spins on its axis, and there's a star called Polaris that hovers right over the North Pole. It doesn't move. So it doesn't move in the sky. And that's what allowed navigators to get across the ocean, was they had a fixed point of reference. And if you're out in the middle of a lake or an ocean and you can't see land, having a fixed point of reference changes everything, right? Now, all of a sudden, if you know how to measure that, you can figure out your exact position. And so a North Star is in your business. What do you believe? What's your vision? How important is it to you? All these things. So we're looking for somebody's North Star. We're looking for their origin story. How did they get into this business? Those are usually pretty unique things. Sometimes it's just nepotism. Sometimes it's partnering. It may not be nepotism. In Brandon's case, you work with your mom, but I don't think that was nepotism, right? That was you guys setting out to build this thing together, right? You're way more partners than you are second generation in a business, but you run into a lot of businesses where it's a next generation that stepped in. The reason BWS Plumbing, Heating, and Air didn't want to change their name is because those are the initials of the founder. And so he's not really running the show anymore. His son is, but his name is Kevin, and it doesn't make much sense to say you don't want to change the name to KWS. So figuring out that origin story and seeing if that makes a difference. When we do this Uncovery interview, what we're looking for are what we call unleveraged assets. So origin stories can really be unleveraged assets. We've uncovered great stories from people that make really good ads. I've got a podiatrist client in Milwaukee who we have a great origin story from him because he had some problems with his feet. And when he was in high school playing basketball, it was another podiatrist that really got him turned around and got his feet working right again in his ankle. And it got him interested in that profession. And that makes a cool story. The sword and the stone, like in your business, what will you always do? What will you never do? What do you stand against? And those are the kinds of things that make really interesting talking points, especially if you're networking, right? Oh, we would never do that. You might hear about somebody else that does something that feels a little shady and you'd say, no, that's never going to happen with us. So that's really Uncovery is us doing a deep dive into the business owner's world and figuring out what makes them tick. And figuring out if there are some things and what makes them tick that we can use as we start to put together stories and messages for them.
All right. Some interesting characters we have.
Some brand characters. There's some great stories with all of these. We don't have time to tell all the stories, but a really strong brand has this thing that you can look at and say, oh, that's the brand. And if you know what the brand stands for and you've been exposed to it long enough, you can know a brand by its codes. Like if you look at these, there's a few of them that don't have any kind of logo at all, but do we need a logo to know who Tony the Tiger is or Mr. Clean, right? We can just look at that and go, oh, that's Mr. Clean. And in fact, we might see a guy that looks like that at an airport and say, he looks like Mr. Clean. So the brand has become so ubiquitous that you can get away with just using what we call brand codes, the things that signal to people that it's a brand. You don't see Ronald McDonald a whole lot anymore, but what you do see are, you might just see an ad, you might see a billboard that's just got the McDonald's colors and a picture of a French fry. You might hear a McDonald's ad or see one on a YouTube pre-roll and all you hear is bam, bam. Right? That's all you hear. They don't even say the name because all they have to, we've heard it so long, all of us from probably before we were born, that we don't need to hear the words anymore. We just need to be reminded, Papa, and I'm hungry. Or you can smell like the man that's in this ad, right? Those kinds of things. So you start identifying those, and then that becomes a part of your campaign. And your campaign, even in networking, right? It becomes the things that you always do that you become known for. And there were always a few people, Dan, in our BNI group that you knew were going to do a thing, right? They were going to stand up and do a thing that they became pretty well known for. I think of there's a jewelry guy in BNI in Tucson that always showed up at other BNI meetings with a rack of jewelry. So, hey, jewelry guy's here. And he had a story to tell, but he also had product to sell. There was a carpet cleaning guy that one of the most amazing 45-second BNI demonstrations I've ever seen. In his little thing, he gets to talk for 45 seconds, right? He stepped out to the center of the room and sprayed his carpet cleaning stuff on this coffee stain that had been in that hotel conference room for years and cleared in 5 seconds. Dang, that was pretty powerful. But he became that guy. Figuring out what's unique about your brand is, it falls back to the stories that we were talking about with Brandon. What's on the next?
And with Brandon, and with how has that story evolved with you in your journey with the Wizard of Bath?
We had a conversation yesterday with Dave and Greg and all of them. And creating that outline of all the things that you do, I was challenged by the last slide. All these are national campaigns, big budget advertising.
Right.
But what about all of us that are doing, say, QuickBooks or accounting or bookkeeping? We don't have those kind of budgets. But what resonates with me is going through that exercise. And I think Dave is going to give you the slide that you can actually go do this, but it's going through all the things that you do and answering those questions. So if you're going to do a blog or a podcast or an interview, however you're going to do it, is not just what you do, because we're going to do that. We're going to talk about what we do, but nobody cares. So we do that, but we also truncate it. We make it 5 minutes about what we do. And if we could throw a story in there about what makes us interesting or what something, we'll say a success story, or maybe it's just some little thing here and there that sets you apart from everybody else. That resonates with people. They want to hear a success story or a case study or something interesting about you, and just know that you can do inventory or manufacturing or lot tracking or serial numbers, serialization, or whatever it is. Okay. He can do that, but hey, he's a pretty cool guy, right? Dave's daughter's a glass blower, but he's really good at marketing too. Yeah, it's not about you. And that's what I've learned, is not about me or what we can do or what we've got the tools to make happen until you need it. Then as long as they know that we can do it, then it's just about making a friend, making acquaintance, or just having somebody that you can. What I usually do is my customers, I end up buying from them because I know now what they do. And I like them. So we've established trust in a relationship. By marketing myself, I've usually marketed them, and I end up going to them for services that I need later on. But it's just about being relatable and likable and just letting them know what it is we do.
So do you find that stories that you need that are best told in the accounting space are examples of those types of things, or is it more of stories about you and your company that help make them memorable?
I think it's a combination. Stories about, if somebody asked me about inventory or about, can you do this? Yeah. And here's a case, or I don't even call it a case study, but we did this once for a certain company out of somewhere. And this was the takeaway that it really worked and they love me now. And I got cussed out. I wanted to change her processes and I made her feel like an idiot. Look, I'm not an accountant. She had a degree in accounting. So it was a fun story. I think I've told Dave that, but it wasn't what the guy wanted. The CEO that's now running the company, it's a stepmother that was the accountant. So he told me what he wanted to do. I went to her and said, all right, so your accounting is fine. Obviously, you've been doing it for years. But in order to get the results that he wants, we've got to change the way we're doing estimates. And so we can get the reporting right so that he can get what he wants and compare the actuals versus the estimates and change the way that they're scoping the job. But the funny story is she cussed me out. I got a 10-minute lashing that said I made her feel stupid and she's not, yada, yada. So in the end, she loves me. We say we address some things they weren't doing and save them a ton of time and got exactly what they wanted. So when we tell that story, it says, oh, that's cool. Yeah, probably benefit. And then we start talking about other stuff that's completely irrelevant, but it also seals that relationship between us.
Great. Well, let's talk a little bit about characters and how they build the story.
Dan, we'll quickly go through this. We talked in depth about this last time, but what I want to get to are if you think about yourself, and I'm going to give you a super simple shortcut to finding what character would you depict of yourself, right? And maybe you need somebody to help with this. But if you go to the website TV Tropes, I think it's tvtropes.org. Yeah. A TV trope is just this stereotypical sort of character that we've seen a million times on TV, right? All different kinds of them. And you don't have to bring this up. Just make a note of it. And we'll talk about these four examples. So with this slide that we're looking at, a lost wallet lies on a Manhattan street stuffed with cash. A white middle-income male New Yorker between 30 and 44 picks it up. Will he look for the rightful owner or will he pocket the cash? And it depends on who that 30 to 44-year-old person is, right? Because we don't have enough information. If it's George Costanza, we know what he's going to do, right? So think of him as a trope. We know exactly what a George Costanza would do. And I'm not saying, Dan, you should think of yourself as George Costanza, but if you were like George Costanza and he was the one you identified with, these next four slides of your profile from a while back are written in the style, right? So if you were George, the IRS was angry that day. My friend, one phone call, that's all they gave my client, right? That's a George kind of thing to say. And the Law and Order, SVU, if she were to write an opening line to a profile, some things you can put them behind you, but they do change you. Let's get caught up. So very relational type of thing. The good wife, man, we're talking about loyalty here, right? Friends come and go. My clients stick around. We're loyal that way. And what was the last one? The spider? What was his name in Game of Thrones? I can hear the numbers whispering. True power comes when you master your numbers. So if your writing just gets better, if you can put yourself into the mindset of someone that you can relate to. Here's Snape. And what did we put? I make it my job to protect you. You'll find safety in tidy books and sleep all the better for it. Those are four or five dramatically different statements, right? Good bookkeepers are time travelers. How far back must we go?
I could see Michelle like,
these are awesome. These are great. I love it. These are so creative. And I couldn't come up with these myself, but I could use AI to come up with these.
But no, so even better than AI, think about what characters, I don't even know what this is a cosplay thing. So think of yourself as a cosplayer and think of who do you relate to that who's your hero on film or in TV, right? And in this case, video games, who's your hero? And try to put yourself in that mindset as you write. As you write, and it will change the words that you use. I haven't even told Brandon this. If I had to pick a TV trope for Brandon, there's one on TVtropes.com called Southern Fried Genius. All right. Southern Fried Genius.
And I see the connection.
Right. You might like, I'm going to read just one little paragraph. The simple country lawyer exemplifies the trope. He uses his intelligence and accent as a weapon, talking in simple allegories and colloquialisms in order to make people think he's a moron and then brutalizing them with superior will. Brandon, he's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And he's also a scuba diving, fishing. He's got dogs. He does all these amazing things. He's got amazing background and chooses to live in Mobile, Alabama, so he can be with all the things that he loves. But he's wicked genius. If you need help managing inventory and hooking up a CRM to your QuickBooks so you can keep track of these leads that are coming in, right? He's got these superpowers that belie the fact that he's this dude down in Mobile. Does that make sense?
Checks in the mail.
Awesome. Yeah. I don't know that we have time. Where are we at on that, Dan? We're at noon.
Yeah. We're coming up at the top of the hour. We can stay a little longer if you guys have the time. If anybody needs to drop off, of course, we will have this recorded for available viewing after. But what anything that you wanted to wrap things up as we come in for a landing here, Dave?
Find a way to be you and tell the story of you, and don't worry about making it marketing sounding, right? Find your story, find who your best customers are, and tell stories that are going to resonate with them. You can do all this mapping, and let's just jump to the slide that has the outline exercise.
We got lots of things that we didn't cover.
Yeah, do all those things. I think you skipped it.
Did I?
Slide 43, maybe.
Uh-oh. This guy.
That's it. So find yourself a trope that you relate to, and maybe find a trope that you're best customer. Maybe find two or three tropes that your best customers, you can see your best customers through those tropes. You go, oh yeah. Yeah. Dan is the, I'm trying to think of who I would pick for Dan. What's the old cartoon with Sherman and the professor, the Wayback Machine?
Mr. Peabody,
right? You're that kid that's always with Mr. Peabody, right? He's super bright, smarter than anybody knows. And he's hanging out with this scientific dog.
Sherman.
Yeah.
Yes.
So write in the voice of your trope to know how you perceive your customer as a different trope. Maybe Jed Clampett is the ideal customer for you, right? Somebody that just came into money and they don't know how to manage it. Guess what? I can help you with that, Jed. I speak your language. I know your problems. I can relate, right? That's a way easier story for Jed to understand than just we do all manner of QuickBooks consulting work and can handle any financial situation. So speak to your customer.
You don't even need to move to Beverly Hills to do
that. No. So I would pick those two things first. Pick your trope, pick the trope of your customers. It's a shortcut to doing personas. Personas can be a lot of work. And then this exercise, Brandon just did it in the last week and takes about 45 minutes. There's a PDF on that page that you print out. And I recommend doing it by hand. You didn't do it right if you don't have a cramp in your hand at the end. But all the instructions are there. And what you'll end up with in 45 minutes is about 60 topics that you could write on today. You could absolutely just sit down and say, well, I need to write that one now. And that's usually the first step in deciding what it is. Most of the time people can't think of, I don't know what I'd write. I don't know what I would write. I don't know where I'd put it. If you write it, you'll have it so that you can put it on LinkedIn. You can put it in places where people will see it. You can tell people about it at a BNI meeting, all kinds of things, but you got to write it first. And this helps you organize it to get it written. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've used this, I don't know, what is this called? Like
I call it brainstorming exercise.
Yeah, there we go. It's almost like it's on the slide. But I've used this for multiple projects that I've been wanting to do, whether it's blog topics or chapters of a book or creating a course outline. So this was a great way to just get it, do a brain dump, get those topics out on paper. And the way that you structure this brainstorming exercise is to not stop yourself.
Yeah. You have to click the play button and just plow through it. And it's actually a mind trick. It tricks your brain into just not judging the things that you write down. Because if we said, hey, between now and tomorrow, could you give me a list of 20 things that you could write blog posts about? You'd write a list of 40 and scratch 35 of them out. I promise you would do that.
So Dave, does a shot of whiskey help if you do that before the second part?
I like to think of it as writing oil.
There you go.
There's a bottle right up there called Writer's Tears.
That's the thing. At the Wizard Academy, if you ever go and take a class there, they're going to start the wine pouring about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, it will help you unleash your creative side.
We call it purple coffee. And what Wizard Academy really is a place that you learn things in an environment that's unlike any place you've ever learned. And so it gets it out of your head that you're sitting at the, what was it called? Summit? Ascend? We all know what's going to happen in Orlando. We're going to be put in a room with accordion doors, and there's going to be a little square coaster that the iced tea sits on. It's going to be dripping in that all day. They're going to give us a crappy little notepad and a hotel pen that doesn't work and try to teach us stuff. Right. And we're against all of that. We believe you should sit amidst art and beauty in the woods and have a nice night's sleep before you start in on class. And then when you sit down in our classroom in a super comfy leather chair and kick back and enjoy a glass of wine, and we start with loud music, and it's crazy. It's fun. So that's our vibe here. And we teach this kind of thing. This topic brainstorm. Was actually taught, it's where I learned it, was at Wizard Academy. An author named Keith Miller taught it 20 years ago, and I've been using it with clients ever since. So
it's a fantastic, it's free. You have everything on that link in my website, which is in the handouts. Somebody asked where we're going to get it. It's in the handouts. Yeah.
I don't even I don't even ask you. It's free to the point that I don't ask
for an email.
No, nothing. It's just there. It's free. Take it.
Right.
Use it.
And that's part of your story where you're that guy that gave away.
I said, give it all away.
And then when you need more, you know where to find them in the whiskey cellar of the Wizard Cat.
Now we have a wine cellar. This is a whiskey vault.
Oh, excuse me.
Right. That's actually the inside of a vault door. I was expecting somebody, because they just broke for lunch. I was expecting somebody to come barging in here, but so far so good.
Before that happens, we'll go ahead and wrap up here. Dave, I appreciate you joining us again on the QB Power Hour, and Brandon, it's great to see you, and we will maybe see you all at.
And Dan, it's a joy to see both you and Michelle again. And I appreciate being able to just come on here and tell you about what I love and what I know. And I'm just going to remind you, Dan, because I know you live a mobile life. We do have a camper parking spot. So,
oh, really?
Come to Austin.
This was great and very helpful. And good to see you, Dave and Brandon, again as well. And Dan, always thank you for all that you do. And thanks, everyone, for joining us.
All right, we'll see you next time on the QB Power Hour.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the QB Power Hour podcast. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them in our Facebook group. You can find those resources and much more at qbpowerhour.com.